Lord Jesus, thank you that we know we can trust you for our salvation and we can trust you with our life. Lord, that we're in a culture that is rapidly changing. This place don't look like it used to look when I was a kid. Things are not the same. But praise God, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, thank you for music, the way that you take music and just usher us right into your presence. May we worship through your word also. Through the power of your spirit, speak directly to our hearts from your word. I thank you for the power of the word of God. Use it tonight in my heart. Use it in the hearts of people. And we thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for being here. I know you could be a lot of other places tonight. Some of you may be a little bit anxious about what's going on today. I want to read you. It has nothing to do with my message. I want to read you a verse. The Lord spoke to me this morning about trusting him. This is Proverbs 21:1. Listen to what it says. It says, the king's heart is like a channel of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. Can I tell you that regardless of what happens tonight, Jesus is still King Jesus. And God is still in control. And he's got the whole thing mapped out. He knows what he's doing. And we can trust him with that. We can trust him. Well, tonight turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And tonight we're going to talk about how that through this relationship that Jesus makes a change, a radical change in my life. Real quick, let's talk about where we've been. All right, we started Sunday kind of talking about the importance of laying me down or reaching a point in my life where I can say, it's my joy to say, Lord Jesus, your will, your way. It's my joy to say, Jesus, your will, your way. We talked about 11 guys in Matthew 28, beginning with verse 16, that were called the disciples. In that passage that we call the Great Commission, and Jesus had told those 11 guys to go to a spot and to meet him, and they saw him and they worshiped him, and some were doubtful. And Jesus looked up at them and he says, all authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. Please understand that Jesus is the authority. But now it's one thing for me to acknowledge he's the authority, but it's something completely different for me to give him authority over me. He wants me to surrender my life to his authority. It's my joy to say, your will, your way. I give you my life. Here I am, Lord Jesus. You do with me what you desire. The rest of the verse makes sense after that. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And then he reminded them of something. And lo, I am with you even until the end of the age. Then last night, we talked about how that through giving him authority in our life, he begins to change our thinking. We went to Philippians chapter 2. We looked at the example of Jesus, of how he emptied himself. And I tell you, one of the biggest challenges that we have as followers of Jesus in giving him real authority over our life is we got to get over ourselves. We got to get past what we think. We got to get past what I think's right, what I want to do. I got to get past my agenda. I got to die to all that stuff. I got to empty myself. When Jesus came to the earth, he had no agenda of his own. He came only to be completely obedient to the will of the Father. He became a bondservant. He served out of love. He humbled himself before God. We talked about the difference in humility and pride. Can I tell you, he don't want us to be puffed up in a whole lot of air with no substance. He wants us to be a whole lot of substance with very little air. And we talked about, we ended last night with obedience. That Jesus set the standard in the area of obedience. He was totally obedient to the will of the Father. And aren't you glad he was? Aren't you glad he didn't stop? Aren't you glad he just didn't, wasn't 80% obedient? Aren't you glad he stayed on the cross and he was totally obedient to the will of the Father? Because he knew that's the only hope we had was for him to totally surrender to the Father. He set the standard. He set the example for us. But my thinking has to change before I ever go there. As I surrender authority of my life to him, I begin to notice, man, my life begins to radically change. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Colossians chapter 1. This is one of my favorite passages in the New Testament. Actually, Colossians is probably my favorite book of the New Testament. But then, begin with verse 9. Paul's writing to the church at Colossae. And there's some false teaching that had come in. And Paul's approach was not to directly aim at the false teaching, but simply to present the truth. And Paul's thinking was this: truth exposes error. And can I tell you, it does. Truth exposes error. And that's what he's doing. And one of the teachings that had entered the church was the teaching of Gnosticism, which basically meant this: that head knowledge about Jesus was enough. That if I can answer all the questions right, then I'm okay. It don't matter how I live. As long as I know the right thing to say. If I can answer the questions, if I know what the Word says, if I know what Jesus did, I'm okay. That's a lie. That's not what the New Testament teaches. New Testament teaches that it's a relationship with Jesus that changes everything. And it's not what I know up here, but what moves from my head to my heart and radically changes my life. Jesus changes people. And that's what we see here. That's what we see in these verses. This is what he says. He says, for this reason, since I've heard of it, since the day I heard of it. Well, what's he talking about? He's talking about the previous verses. All right? Since I heard about your faith. Heard about your faith in Jesus. I heard about your understanding of grace. I've heard about the hope that you have in heaven. That's what he's referring to. Since I heard about it. He says, since I've heard about it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That you be filled with the knowledge of his will. That word knowledge is an important word. That word knowledge, I believe it's a hinge word, what I would call a hinge word in the entire book of the book of Colossians. He's addressing Gnosticism with that word. And they knew this. That knowledge is a word that means it's not what you know, it's not head knowledge. It's knowledge and information based on a relationship that you have with a person. And guess who that person is? Guess who he's talking about? He's talking about Jesus. He says, because of this relationship that you have with Jesus, because of your understanding of who Jesus is and that you've placed your faith in him and you understand it's a grace gift from God. He says, I've been praying for you that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. Then he says this, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respect, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to an inheritance, to share in an inheritance of the saints in light. We're just going to walk down through here. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm hot. I'm probably going to get hotter, so y'all don't care if I take my coat off, do you? All right? I'm probably going to do it anyway. All right. Let's just walk down through here. All right? Just walk through this passage. He says, so that your walk may be worthy of the Lord. Can I tell you that my walk with the Lord and your walk with the Lord is important to Jesus? Walk, the word walk comes from a word that means to tread. It would be like to tread water. The picture there is that my lifestyle, the way that I live my life, because of my relationship with Jesus, the way that I live my life, the way that I conduct myself, the way that I act, the way that I react, the way that I respond, the way that I talk, the way that I treat people should always be in a way empowered by the Spirit of God that brings Him much, much glory. That my walk, my lifestyle honors Jesus. Now listen to me, folks. People know that you're a part of a church, if you're a part of a church. Do they not? People know that you go to First Baptist Lexington. People around here know that. People know Donald Self sitting back there. Pastors at Second Baptist in Calisco. You didn't think I saw you come in, did you, dude? Good to see you, brother. Good to see y'all. But they know. They know that Robert Herring is serving here. They know that. But you know what they're looking for? They're looking to see if what we say and what we live line up. That's what they're looking at. And they want to see that the walk is worthy of the name that I bear. Now listen to me. It's not about me trying to do better. It's about me dying and letting Jesus be Jesus in and through me. Then Jesus becomes evident in my life. See, oftentimes we think there's Christian things about trying to do better. Look, we ain't going to do no better on our own. We can't. We can't. That's why we need Jesus. And because of Him in us, He wants us to surrender to Him and let Him live through us so that our walk is worthy of the name that we bear. And what name do we bear? Christians. Little Christ, disciples, followers of Jesus. Folks, I'm not asking you what you act like at church. What about when you're not here? What about when you stand in the line and you're in that line that's not to have over 20 items and the person in front of you's got 35? Or guys, you stand in that line and they got all them magazines right there. What are your eyes looking at? Because can I tell you, women are watching. And can I tell you, my wife knows and your wife knows what we look at. They know. And can I tell you something else? Our kids know. It's my walk. It's the way I live out there in the world. Worthy of the name that I bear. It ought to be. My life ought to make much of Jesus. And your life ought to make much of Jesus. It's not because I'm a preacher. It's because I'm a follower of Jesus. You see, this relationship begins to change everything. It changes the way that I live. My walk is different. And can I tell you, I think it's okay to have a little hop in our step. You know, I think that's fine. I know as Baptists, we're scared of that. You know, we can't get our hands no higher than here. You know, but look, He moved me from death to life. That's worth being excited about. I was dead until I met Jesus. And He moved me from death to life. My walk ought to be worthy. He says this, to please Him in all respects. To please Him in all respects. Basically, that means this, that every single area of my life is what He desires. There's not a single area of my life or your life that's not important to Jesus. Not a single one. He wants to do such a radical work in my heart through my surrendering to His authority that every detail of my life is pleasing before Him. Wow. You know, one of the things I've noticed about life is that all of us struggle. Every one of us struggle with stuff. You know, you say you don't, you're lying. We all do. We all got issues that we struggle with. None of us have arrived. You ever around somebody tell you they arrived? Run. They're lying. None of us have arrived. We all got issues. But let me tell you something I've noticed about people. Most of us struggle with the same areas all our life. Most of us, the areas we struggle with when we was 25, we're struggling with when we're 55. Can I tell you, even in those areas, he wants to give us victory? I think oftentimes what we do is this. Oh, that's just the way it's always going to be. Can I tell you, that ain't the way it always has to be. Because my God and your God and the God of this word and Jesus that lives within us is bigger than those struggles. If we will give him authority over them continually, he'll give us victory in them. Don't give in to it. Don't you say it's going to always be like this, because listen to me, there ain't nothing Jesus can't change. And that's not an area of your life or my life he doesn't want to radically change to bring him much, much glory. And some of those things are not bad things. Most of the time when we think about that, it's bad stuff. Some of it's good stuff, we just get out of whack. Now, I love sports. Most of you here know that because I coached a bunch of your kids. And my favorite of all sports is basketball. I like it all. If it's competitive, I like it. I mean, I can get my heart rate increase watching somebody play ping pong if it's good. You know, I'm just I love competition. I always have, always will. And Jenny's second one, she calls him, they call me Grampy. Jenny calls him little Grampy. She says, Daddy, he is the spitting image of you. She said, what do I do with him? He does not like school. All he wants to do is play ball. She said, what do I do to make him study? I said, one of two things worked for me. My daddy tore my tail up. You can do that, or you can take sports away. Because he's going to do anything to be able to play. But my kids have told me this. They said, Daddy, we know how you're going to die. I said, really? How you know how I'm going to die? They said, you're going to die playing our kids in sports, trying to beat them. You're going to have a heart attack. Because you won't let them win. You got to win. And yet it's going to get to the point they can beat you and you're going to die. I love sports. I love basketball. There's something about tennis shoes squeaking on a hardwood floor and a ball bouncing. I love that sound. I love that sound. There's this thing that happens every March. It's called March Madness. I love college basketball. Now, usually, when that gets here, I have been on the road since the second week of January. I usually try to take a week off in March. I look at my schedule today, and I've already booked. I didn't even save a week next year in March. But when I'm home that week, I can choose to do what I want to do. Get in my chair that is conformed to my body. And you guys, you got one. You got one. Get that remote, and I can watch every game and not even feel bad about it. Or, since I've been on the road, there's some stuff around the house that Tina couldn't do that I need to do for her before I get back on the road the next week. See, there's nothing wrong with basketball. But I can choose to watch basketball. I can choose to do the right thing and help my wife. Even in that area, he wants to change my heart to bring him glory, to please him in all respects. Every area of my life, every detail of your life is important to Jesus. He goes on. He says, excuse me, bearing fruit in every good work, allowing God to produce fruit in our life. Notice it doesn't say, do good work and ask God to bless it. It says, the picture here is allowing God to produce fruit in our life. I mentioned this last night. You look at the life of Jesus. Jesus only did what the Father initiated. Can I tell you, that's a pretty good plan. What we do is we pray, we seek Him through His Word. He initiates it in our hearts. He shows us where he's at work. and we do it or we join him. How many times have we come up with great plans? And boy, it looked really good. And we do it and we ask God to bless it. And we fall flat on our face. And we're thinking, God, why didn't you bless that? Man, that was really good. And I'm thinking, God must be thinking, why should I bless it? I never asked you to do that. That wasn't of me. That was your idea. Can I tell you, every one of us have done that, and every church has done that. Have we not? Boy, it looks so good on paper. But we forgot one thing. We left him out of it. Can I tell you, there's a difference between a God thing and a good thing. And I'm convinced that oftentimes we settle for good things. And we miss the God thing. Can I tell you, God wants to produce in and through my life what only God can produce. It's works that only God is capable of doing. That way, when people see it, they know I can't do it. That way, he gets the glory for it. Because if I can do it, guess what? I'll take credit for it. Remember I told you last night, we all made out of the same cookie doughs. You'll do the same thing. If it's your plan, your idea, and it's good, and it works, who's going to take credit for it? We are. It's not about us getting credit. It's about bringing him glory. And when he does what only he can do in your life and through your life, in the life of your church and through the life of your church, people take note because they say, I know them people. They're not capable of that. And you say, you're right, we're not. But our God is. Our God is. And can I tell you, that draws people to Jesus. He goes on. He says, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. That simply means growing. Growing in our knowledge and understanding. Growing in our relationship with Jesus. All right, either I'm growing or I'm dying. There's no in between. We can't kick it in neutral in this thing. Either we're growing or we're not. Either I'm growing or I'm drying up. I had a missionary friend, first church ever pastor, tell me. I'll never forget this. He says, Wayne, this growing in your relationship with Jesus, it's like riding a bicycle up a hill. As long as you keep on pedaling, you're okay. But if you stop pedaling, you don't stay in the same place. You go backwards, and most of the time, what do? You crash. You see, as long as we're in the Word, as long as we're praying, talking and listening. By the way, prayer is two-way conversation. All right? It's not me telling God what he needs to do. All right? It's me coming before God because I have that right and privilege because of what Jesus did on the cross and pouring my heart out before him and giving him a chance to speak back to me. Spending time in the Word helps me understand how to pray. Being held accountable to the truth. Being connected with Christian community. All those things are a way that we grow. Either I'm growing or I'm dying. One or the other. I'm a bicycle rider. I used to say I'd never wear any of them little sissy shorts them dude wear on riding them bicycles. You get up on that little skinny seat, you'll wear them sissy shorts. It's the reason for them sissy shorts. And I'll ride one of them that's got them little bitty tires. That's what I do for exercise. All right? I ran for years. Doctor told me I couldn't run anymore. So to keep from driving Tina crazy because I couldn't run, she bought me a bicycle. And I didn't get to ride today. I rode yesterday. I'll try to ride tomorrow, but it doesn't matter how far I've ridden. I'm coming back to my truck, and there's a hill. I'm not going to stop pedaling until I get to the top because I know what will happen if I do. Can I tell you? If we get out of the Word, we stop praying, we quit letting people hold us accountable to the truth, and we disconnect ourselves from Christian community, we're going to crash. He says, increasing, and can I tell you guys, this is a lifelong journey that we never arrive, we just keep striving. We just keep growing. Keep growing. We can't let up. I don't care what age you are. Still got breath. There's room for growth. Increasing in the knowledge of God. He goes on. I love this one. Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the obtaining of steadfastness and patience. Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. The picture there is this, is basically this. The power of God being manifested in a plain, ordinary person like me and like you. Can I tell you, that's what God does. And He's good at it if we'll let Him. I'm not very smart. I never have been. I didn't make very good grades in school. It took me almost 6 years to get a college degree. When I graduated in August, and I started to work at Central Homes in August. I had been in school for 5 3/4 years to get a college degree. And my degree is in PE. That's not petroleum engineering. I struggled in school. I have a hard time remembering stuff. But something happens to me when I stand up to preach. I can remember the stuff that I studied. That's the power of God. That's all it is. In a plain, ordinary person. I can't do this. I was preaching and Jenny was with me. And our kids are super smart. Jeffrey has his doctorate. Jenny has her doctorate. Jody is a teacher. They got all that after their mama. They didn't get that from me. But I'm preaching one morning and Jenny's with me. And we get ready to leave. And she's in the car with me. This was before she got married. And she says, "Daddy, I've heard you say before that you have a hard time remembering and that you're not very smart." And I said, "That would be correct." She said, "Daddy, you just preached for 45 minutes and you never looked at a note. Don't tell me." I said, "Wait a minute. You need to understand something. That's not me. That's the power of God being manifested in a plain, ordinary person. There's days I can't remember where I'm supposed to be. I've pulled over before going to preach a revival to make sure I'm going to the right church. Read it off my calendar. But something happens when I stand up with the Word of God. All of a sudden, I can remember what I've studied. That's what he's talking about. Here he gives two specific examples. Strengthened with all power according to your glorious might for the attaining of steadfastness and patience. According to what translation you got to exactly what it's going to say, I'm going to tell you what it means. That first word in the New American Standard is steadfastness. It means that you're weak and you can't stand on your own. But the power of God intervenes and picks you up and keeps you going. Anybody ever been there? Where you didn't think I could even take another breath. I sure can't take another step. I don't even want to keep going. But the power of God keeps you going. That's what that's talking about. Most of you know that years ago we lost a little boy. Can I tell you, that's where we were. Lord, I don't like this. I don't understand this. Hardest thing I've ever done is go pick a cow out of the casket about that big. There's not a whole lot of choices, by the way. I'll never forget that. Tina was in the hospital. My kids were broken. I went by myself. The power of God. When I couldn't take another step. That's what it's talking about. And can I tell you, if you've never had those days, you live long enough, you will. And as believers, we're promised the power of God to sustain us. That's what it's talking about. Then it says patience. That means somebody's wronged you. And by the way, if nobody's wronged you today, wait till tomorrow. That's part of life. And by the way, other than by the grace of God, I would have wronged somebody today. And if I'm not careful, I'll wrong somebody tomorrow. That's why we need Jesus. Somebody's wronged you. You have the means to get them back. And you think you got the right to get them back. And the Holy Spirit of God says, uh-uh, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to love them in Jesus' name. I don't know about you. I can't do that. But praise God, the power of God can. We all got people in our lives that kind of irritate us. I call them spiritual sandpaper. Apparently I got some knots on me that needs to be rubbed on. And God's real faithful to put those people in my path. You know, you go to Walmart, you walk down the aisle, there they are. Say, uh-oh, I'm going 3 aisles over. You move over there, I'll be dadgum. They done beat you over there. Yeah. I get up tomorrow morning and I know I'm going to see that person or those people that just irritate me. And this is what I say. I don't care what they say. I'm going to love them. I'm just going to love them. I'm going to love them. I don't care what they do. I'm bigger than all that. A lot of I in that, right? Here they come. They do the thing. I'm okay. They turn around and walk off. They stop. They turn around and come back. They do it again. I'm still okay. I'm just going to love them. About the third time, you know what I'm thinking? Forget this. Let's get even. I want to pick them up by the nap of the neck and kick them in the seat of the pants. Jesus says, no. We're just going to love them with the love of Jesus. Impossible for us to do that on our own. That's what he's talking about here. He said, I'll so radically change your life if you'll give me authority over you that I will empower you when you can't take another step to step. I will give you the grace to love people that irritate the dickens out of you that you think you got the right to get them back. I'll let that love flow right through you to them. And then the last thing he says is this. Joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us for an inheritance with the saints in light. Joyously giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us. Let me tell you what that means. I love this. The picture there is who has rendered us worthy of an inheritance. I want you to think about that. If you're a follower of Jesus, he has rendered you worthy of an inheritance that started when you said yes to Jesus and that you will experience in the fullness throughout all eternity. He says, you're worthy of this. You are worthy of an inheritance. Because you know what he does? If you're in Christ, when he looks at you, he does not see your imperfection, but he sees you bathed in the perfection of his Son. Wow. And he looks at me, and he looks at you, and he says, that's my boy. That's my daughter. And they're worthy. Because in Christ, he don't see our junk. He sees us clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. You see, because when Jesus went to the cross, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus just didn't take your sin to the cross. He became your sin on the cross that you might become the righteousness of God. I want you to think about that. He says, give thanks for that. Joyously giving thanks to the Father because he has rendered you worthy of inheritance. That means we just need to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. That when you look at me, you don't see my mess ups. You don't see my mistakes. Because of a relationship with Jesus, you see me in the perfection of Jesus. Now look, if you don't know Jesus, it's not like that. You don't have an inheritance. But if you know Jesus, you got something to rejoice in. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you just thanked Jesus for rendering you worthy? When's the last time you just stopped and just said, thank you, Jesus, because I know me. But thank you for the way you view me in Christ. Isn't that awesome? Now, I remember when the Lord first began getting hold of my heart, and we were living here, and I was working a basketball camp at Holmes Community College, and I was driving back and forth, and Laurie Russell, y'all remember Laurie Russell? Laurie Russell had a motorcycle that she wasn't riding, and she wanted me to ride it that week and just use it. Now, I didn't think about this till years later. Man, the Lord was really working in my heart, really beginning to change my life. I'm beginning to understand what Jesus had done for me and how that, man, every detail of my life was important to Him. I'd be riding that motorcycle from here to Goodman, and I would be singing all these songs I'd been learning. And I was singing them loud enough for me to hear them while I'm going down the road on the motorcycle about 60 miles an hour with a helmet on. I got to think, I don't sing very well. I got to thinking about that. Man, from here to Goodman, there's some folks down through there that heard some horrible singing. But I'm going to tell you what it was. I'm going to tell you what it was. It was rejoicing because I was beginning to understand what Jesus had done for me. I think sometimes we get over what Jesus had done for us. God forbid us to ever get over what Jesus has done for us. Maybe tonight we need to start with just thanking Him. Father, when you look at me, I want to thank you. You don't see my past mistakes. You don't see all those times that I was rebellious and stubborn. It was all about me and what I wanted. You don't see that. But you see me as your child, clothed in the perfection of Jesus. Lord, I don't understand that. But boy, Lord Jesus, I sure am thankful for it. Can I tell you, that's really a good place to start. Because sometimes I think we forget how much we have to be thankful for. And if you don't know Jesus, He brought you here tonight for you to understand that you don't have to stand before God guilty of all your mistakes, because the power of the cross can wash all that away. What Jesus did on the cross will allow you to stand before the Father, clothed in perfection of Jesus. But you got to receive it. Don't you think sometimes we think salvation is something we achieve? Can I tell you, you'll never achieve perfection. But you can receive it. Because we got a perfect Savior. So where are you tonight? Is this relationship with Jesus radically changing every detail of your life? Whatever you need, surrender to Him tonight. Whatever is holding you back. I'm going to say this again. I've said it before. Whatever it is that's holding you back from surrender to Jesus ain't worth it. I don't care what it is. It's not worth it. And it's robbing you from the very thing you're looking for, that you're only going to find when we reach a point with where we can say, here I am, Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving somebody like me. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you change people's lives. I pray for our walk. Every detail of our walk. We realize the importance of it bringing you glory. Maybe that's part of your walk tonight. You know, it's not pleasing to the Lord. Every aspect of your life and my life is important to Him. Guys, whether we lie on our eyes to see, ears to hear, what's coming out of our mouth, just give that to Him. Be honest. He knows it anyway. Just tell Him, Lord, I'm struggling here. I need help. What about growing? Are you growing? Not going to grow apart from the Word, prayer, accountability, and Christian community. We need each other. We need the Word and we need prayer. Maybe tonight you just need to say, Lord Jesus, I want to grow. What about His power being manifested in your life? What about that person that just irritates you? You've been trying to love them and can't? The power's there. If you're a believer, just got to surrender to it. Strengthen with all power according to His glorious might. Or maybe tonight you just need to thank Him. Maybe you just need to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. Never be ashamed to thank Jesus for rendering you worthy. Altar's open. We're going to sing a song. You don't have to wait. You can come on. You can come on. Safe place. Kneel at the altar. You kneel at your pew. If you don't know Jesus, if you're not clothed in the perfection of Jesus, you can be. Cry out to Him. Jesus, I need you. Would you forgive me of my sin? Come and live inside my life. Change me. Change me. Empower me. Strengthen me. Just this silence of this moment. It's time to move. It's time to respond. If you need to respond, now is your opportunity. Maybe you just want to come to the altar and thank Him. You got a lot to be thankful for. But nothing more than being rendered worthy of an inheritance of the King. Lord, I thank you for your Word. I thank you for the power of the Word. And thank you it never returns to your void. It accomplishes what you desire. May we simply respond as you have spoken to our hearts. And may we leave changed because we've been in the presence of Jesus. We're going to sing a song. It's your opportunity. You can still respond. But the key's up front. You want to talk to Him. I'll be here if you want to talk to me. But just be honest about where you are. We all have struggles. None of us have arrived. We all need Jesus. We need Him for salvation, but we need Him for life. Here I am, Lord Jesus. Your will, your way in my life. I pray that that's your heart tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.